Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle, coming to you from my house today, as I typically do on Fridays. Film Week coming up at 11 o'clock. Our critics Tim Cogshell and Leah Lowenstein will be with us, talk about a number of films, some ones they really liked, and we'll also hear about their picks for series that are streaming. In our first hour, we've got a jam-packed lineup. We're going to talk about the NBA getting much closer to opening up its season. We'll find out what the owners agreed to. Players still need to sign off on the terms. We're also going to talk about COVID-19, the very latest update. LAPD Chief Michael Moore will be with us later this hour to respond to criticism of his department's actions during the street protests here in Los Angeles over the past week plus. But we begin today's program asking if you've been out on the streets, if you've been protesting, what you're hoping comes from this. What do you want to see very specifically in terms of policy? I don't mean just the generality of race relations. Of course, we all do, about police conduct and African Americans being treated equitably under the law and the color of authority. I'm talking very specifically about policy issues that are important to you to get a range of the diversity of protesters and what their thoughts are for what will create a better and more just society. We're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. You can also comment on the AirTalk page, kpcc.org, tweet at AirTalk, or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Again, I want to hear from you. If you've been out on the streets protesting, what sorts of changes you want to see, not broad strokes, but rather specific policies that you think will improve society. We begin with USC's program manager of the Cecil Murray Center for Community Engagement, Pastor the Reverend Najuma Smith Pollard. Reverend Najuma, good to have you with us again on Air Talk.
It's good to be here with you again, Larry. How are you today?
I'm doing well. First of all, your personal reflections on what we've seen in the large-scale street protests over the past few days.
It's been a difficult time for a number of people, but we've seen the necessary immediate changes that the protests were initially about, which was those four officers being arrested and charged. And that happened, but that happened because people band together and protested and didn't let up off the gas until that happened. And so we are there. You know, there's a sentiment of that that's a step in the right direction. But we know that this is not the end. This is just the step in the right direction. And there's many more steps that have to take place.
And what are the range of people, either congregants or students or others that you deal with? What is the range of diversity in the policy solutions? Because we all come together on certain issues, including abhorrence of the killing of George Floyd by the Minneapolis police officer and the other officers who stood by. But beyond that outrage, what are the areas where there seems to be commonality and differences?
Right. Well, one of the individuals that I've been working with, we've been pushing on this budget issue, and it was a good sign that the mayor, reallocated some funds out of the budget. That was an ask, but we know that there's still more opportunity within the budget for things to be done. And so, you know, we've been pushing on the budget issue, and next will be pushing on accountability, the mayor, you know, on accountability. Yeah.
All right. We're talking with Reverend Najuma Smith Pollard of USC's Murray Center for Community Engagement, 866-893-KPCC. Jose, in downtown Los Angeles. Jose, how many of the protests, if you recall off the top of your head, have you been out to so far?
So far, I've been to two walks in downtown L.A.
All right. And what is it you want to see very specifically coming out of the community action?
Definitely. So what I would love to see, in, especially for our police department, is any investigations into abuses of power with the police. Anytime they fire their gun or kill somebody, it needs to be investigated by an outside authority and not themselves, because they are effectively policing themselves with internal affairs. And most of the time, that comes up with you know, innocents, that the police aren't held accountable to their actions, and especially involving any deaths. So I believe that a strong outside source, independent, should investigate these abuses of power killings, really.
Mayor Garcetti, earlier this week came out in addition with a $150 million LAPD budget cut with a number of other changes, and one includes an independent investigator and prosecutor of police misconduct. Does that speak fully to what you're talking about, Jose? Are you talking about something larger than that?
So I did see the budget cuts. I think that that's the right step. And independent, you know, authority beyond, I think, kind of like a jury, almost specialized in police abuses and civil rights, needs to, you know, be created specifically for those issues and the deeper budget cuts, because violent crime has been down. And so there's no need to give the police more money, because we can see now that, you know, they are walking around with riot gear, just hundreds of thousands of dollars of riot gear on, and this gear that's not needed for you know, for our city when crime has been, violent crime has been down.
So you don't think that the riot gear was necessary for some of the things that broke out early on with the protests, concurrently with the protests?
No, because no lives were in danger. You know, it was all property damage. And for that, you know, I don't think they should be out there looking like Iron Man or something.
Okay. There was a police officer with a fractured skull, but Jose, I appreciate your call. 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk. You can also post on the AirTalk Facebook page. TJ, in Atwater Village, what specifically, policy-wise, behaviorally, do you want to see changed?
Yes, hi. Interesting question, because I didn't know that there was anyone still left that didn't know the answer to this. So we want accountability.
TJ, I'm sorry. The quality of the call is so muddy. Let's see if we can clean it up and if we can bring you back. Yeah, TJ, you're surprised that people, if I understood you correctly, don't know what people want. I've heard a diversity of different things in terms of funding priorities. I've heard a range of things. So I don't know that everybody that's out at the protest all think alike and have exactly the same prescriptives. I know there are some things that people agree on, but I'm interested in the diversity of thoughts represented by people that are protesting. Dave in Diamond Bar says, I'd like to see funds that are designated for LAPD go to mental health professionals and social workers. I want the police department to be renamed the Public Safety Department to get away from what I see as their aggressive mission. That's Dave in Diamond Bar. Joining me now is the founder of Loving Hands Community Care Incorporated, a nonprofit providing support to families who've lost children to gang violence and trauma in the Los Angeles area. Ms. Wooten, thank you very much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So, what concrete actions do you want to see come out of this?
Well, I would like to see right now Watts have a partnership with LAPD, where we have police that's called a community safety partnership. So that's a number of polices in each area in Watts who was hired to do community policing with the community. And in the beginning, when we started this program, it was a few years ago, the police that signed up for this job was doing just what they was hired for. And that was getting a relationship with the community, bringing in programs. Now we've kind of gotten away from that, but they are trying to get it back to how it was in the beginning. So if we could have more training in the area of policemen knowing how to police the community in partnership, I think that would be a big start.
All right. And so can you give some examples of what you mean by sort of getting back to what was happening before?
Getting back to actually getting out the car, communicating with the people, talking to the people, interacting with the people, letting the people take the lead on activities and just different events and whatnot that goes on in our community, which is Watts. And just stand back and kind of let the community police their own community, step in when necessary, of course. But just those type of things.
All right. Kathy Wooten is the founder of Loving Hands Community Care, nonprofit providing support and aid to families who've lost children to gang violence and trauma in the Los Angeles area. Ms. Wooten, thank you very much. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us. Liz in Southeast L.A. says, I want to see the budget cuts of the LAPD, however, not on training or community relations, but on salaries or overtime. The challenge there, Liz, is that the salaries are all negotiated. That's all subject to collective bargaining, just like any other workers that are represented by a union. So the city is not able to just unilaterally cut salaries at the LAPD, and that is overwhelmingly where most of the money is going. So we're going to ask Chief Moore about, then where is the money going to come from if the unions are not going to allow for cuts in salaries? Then what sorts of programs, what sorts of training, what sorts of, you know, where bureaucratic spending that goes on, where are those cuts going to come from? I think we have a better phone connection with TJ in Atwater Village. You're with us on Air Talk.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I thought the answer to this question was obvious. We want better training. We want better screening. We want accountability. We want officers that we pay to serve and protect held to a higher standard, as it is now, but not even held to the regular standard of citizens. We want them held to a higher standard. And then beyond that, we want the education to prison pipeline and the for-profit prisons and the racist drug war. We want the whole system that's been racist and institutionalized injustice for 400 years. We want it changed.
Let's be a little more specific. So you talk about the pipeline to prison. Do you want to see drugs decriminalized? What things are you thinking of that would accomplish that goal as you describe it?
Well, just right now, we have more people in prison on marijuana charges. The whole country has been up for re-legalization of marijuana, and we're still putting brown and black people in prison for that. That's affecting their way to work. We're taking parents, breaking up families over the drug war. We just need, it's not working. It's unconstitutional. And it's basically just a big cottage industry. And there's conservatives and states' rights people on both sides of the issue that know that needs fixed. And it's all indicative of the bigger level of the oligarchy that we're facing, where everything is about money. So we profitized health and prisons and education. And we need it all fixed. We need to start here.
All right. So, TJ, for you, does that mean the public sector take on more of this, government have more of it, and the private sector have less?
Oh, definitely. We can fix this system, make it more democratically socialist, like we have already been with our freeways and parks, and the police themselves are a democratic socialist. We could do this and save money. We can have a better system. We pay more to put someone in prison than it would be to rehab them. To put someone with a drug problem and send them to a doctor would cost less than putting them in prison.
TJ, we're losing your line again, but thank you very much. That's TJ in Atwater Village talking about what he'd like to see. And one of the things we're trying to get a handle on, because this is something we've heard from a lot of the protesters out on the streets, is beyond the issue of police accountability and police funding, is a move towards social democratic, or for lack of a better term, Bernie Sanders positions. That might be a place where there's some difference of opinion among protesters in terms of longer term dealing with some of the systemic problems the protesters are pointing out. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Lisa in Lake Forest, what specifically would you like to see change?
Hi, Larry. There's several changes. One, at the state and local level, I'd like to see legislative changes that support transparency so people can see complaints against abusive officers. I'd like to see the city and county renegotiate the police contracts so to implement reasonable anti-abuse changes into the contract and a willingness for them to let officers who don't support these reasonable changes walk away and to hire new officers who do agree with restrictions aimed at abusing. I want to say that, first of all, I think 85-90% of the police officers are doing a good job and care about the job they do. But I think there's systemic problems that allow bad actors to feel that they can act with impunity because so far there hasn't been a lot of accountability on these officers. And I'd like to see in the case of Minneapolis where two of the four officers I've heard in the killing of George Floyd were on the third or fourth day of the job. And I'd like to make sure that if new officers are sent out under a supervisor, that they need to make sure that that supervisor has a great track record and not send them out to be supervised by an officer that has 19 complaints of abuse.
Lisa, I appreciate your call. I had not heard that about how the other officers had just started on the job. So we'll check that and see. I just want to confirm because I had not heard that before in any of our discussions about the officers, four of them, of course, now charged. Now, that's Lisa in Lake Forest. We're asking those who've taken part in the street protests, what sorts of specific changes do you see when it comes to public policy, when it comes to behavior? We have writing on the AirTalk page. Erte writes, automatic and mandatory body cam recording for entire patrol shifts. All footage available to civilian oversight. And that's a comment right there. We have some more to add as you share your thoughts on the AirTalk page or via social media. Tweet at AirTalk or on the AirTalk Facebook page. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to AirTalk on 89.3 KPCC. LAPD Chief Michael Moore coming up with us in just a few minutes to respond to some of the criticism we're hearing from listeners about his department. And we'll also talk about the budget cut announced by Mayor Garcetti and agreed to by the City Council, $150 million from the departmental budget. Norma writes on the AirTalk page, the police unions need to change their policy of trying to protect brutalizers. Records should be available. Abusers should not be protected. Curtis Ann writes on the page, one of the most stressful and inequitable transactions that Black people have to deal with is purchasing a home in a segregated America. Every interaction from getting a broker, getting shown available houses in neighborhoods with good schools, through getting a mortgage is riddled with racial bias. I'd love to see that addressed. That's Curtis Ann writing on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Jack in Eagle Rock says, people keep talking about giving them more training. I think every officer should have to have a 2-year degree in criminal justice before going to the police academy. That way there are more opportunities to learn things in depth. 866-893-KPCC. Candace in Lake Elsinore says, my primary focus is for police officers abusing their privilege and have committed crimes to have it taken seriously, not just be fired and rehired somewhere else. Let's talk with John in Carson. John, what specifically would you like to see change?
Okay, thank you for having me on the show. And like some viewers out there, I believe there's a lot of good police officers. But from my understanding, whenever there's a civil lawsuit and there's a payout to compensate a victim of police brutality, it comes from taxpayer money. I think it would be better to have the payout come from the police union retirement fund so that police officers would think more carefully about their behavior and knowing that, okay, if I do commit some type of brutality against a citizen, I'm just going to get administrative leave and I'll be fine. And the money is going to come from citizens. It should be directly, they should get more, be penalized more directly by attacking their retirement. I believe people should have retirement, but I think we should come up with more constructive ways to deal with this this problem of police brutality across our country and in our city. And because when you come to the end of a lot of these major streets through downtown, there's so much work that needs to be done in terms of cleaning up the streets and garbage and so on and so forth. And so I think it's a great step to take money to allocate it towards fixing some of our cities, because at the other end of downtown, there's things being built up. But when you come towards South L.A., Main Street, Los Angeles Street, Broadway, Main, there isn't so much trash and other things that are under
place. John, I'm sorry I just got other people, but I really appreciate your point, and I haven't heard that proposal before. And I wasn't sure whether you're speaking specifically about, I guess you're talking about the officer's individual retirement, because the union doesn't, as I understand it, administer the retirement fund. That goes through the city of Los Angeles with all of their employees. So if you're talking about the individual officer in a civil suit, you know, they obviously, officers do have particular protections under the law that are not available to other people. I appreciate your talking about that. Thank you, John in Carson. Just wanted to get back to, I believe it was Lisa in Mission Viejo who brought up what the level of experience was of the officers involved George Floyd's death. Attorney Earl Gray, according to Forbes magazine, who's representing former Minneapolis police officer Thomas Lane, said yesterday in court it was his client's fourth shift. It was J. Alexander Kung's third as an officer in the field. So those two officers who've been charged, both of them, with aiding and abetting second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter, both of those officers. Let's take another call. This is from John. John, where are you calling from?
John from Hemet.
Hemet, okay, great. Go right ahead, please. What specifically do you want to see change?
Well, basically, I'm in my 40s. I've been around since the Rodney King, 1992s, Ferguson, up until now. I don't believe a solution is financial aid. I believe transparency, which they've just voted on to release a lot of the documents to be more transparent. I have been around since they've suggested the training, but I don't think that's working too well. So what I would like to see is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Internal Affairs or whoever investigates the abuse of power currently, I know there was talk about putting that in the hands of the people, a civilian board of some sort, and I don't know if that's ever taken flight or, you know, happened yet, but something as far as putting it in the hands of the people, I think that would actually help as far as the investigating of the abuse of power.
And all right,
hold them accountable.
I'm sorry, I accidentally stepped on the last line you said, John. What was that?
And that way we can definitely hold them accountable, because accountability is the big thing that I've been hearing.
All right. Well, there is, of course, an L.A. Police Commission appointed a commission here in Los Angeles and Inspector General. But I appreciate very much you're talking about you'd like to see additional levels of civilian influence. 866-893-KPECC. There are some cities, for example, who don't have anything that is comparable to the LA Police Commission. Often it is the Public Safety Committee of the City Council that holds that position. So it's elected officials as opposed to community members that you have with the LA Police Commission overseeing the LAPD. Hannah in Elysian Valley says, I've been to a lot of protests over the past week, and from what I've seen, a lot of people are demanding much more radical change than what listeners have been sharing. There's a wide range of opinions for what people actually want. And that was, Hannah, I appreciate that. That's what I was hoping for, is to hear a variety of different things that people are hoping. Now, here is a point of view that's directly opposite to those that are out on the streets protesting. Chris writes on the Air Talk page, the best thing that could come out of this destruction and loss of life is the truth, facts, objective statistics, an end to the false narrative that cynical race hustlers exploit to create division that ends up hurting the very people they claim to be fighting for. The lies are destroying the black community, an end to the baseless rhetoric about systemic institutional racism, fair reporting. Twice as many white people are shot by police every year, but almost never make the news. Even the one shockingly brutal like Tony Timpa. I blame the media for a lot of this, the rest for politicians exploiting people of color for votes. That's Chris writing on the Air Talk page. Brandon in Koreatown says, I want to see money reallocated from this police department specifically to housing efforts and to mental health services. Those are the two areas Brandon Koreatown would like to see additional funds going and money cut from the LAPD budget. You're listening to Air Talk on KPCC. Coming up, we're scheduled to talk with Michael Moore, LAPD chief, get his response to the events of these past several days.